Good morning. Many of you will notice that that was not me leading the singing. He's got more hair than I do. Pastor Josh is on vacation this week, so I am filling in as the pulpit, and Dale kindly said he would lead the singing for us. Had several announcements to go over, but first I wanted to point out, did you all see Leon Johnson walking his daughter down the aisle here a few minutes ago? I thought that was really sweet of him. Never mind. Okay. It was actually his mother-in-law, but hey. It's good to see Hazel back. She spent some time in the hospital, but it's good to see that you're strong and up and about. In the announcements, we have several to run through with you. Some of them are not in the bulletin, and some of them are not on the PowerPoint. So listen up. On Thursday, we have our adult luncheon. I've sort of called it the XYZ Club, standing for Extra Years of Zest. But we can pick what other name we want if you fun. Tom Walsh has said he will head that up. That's another thing that I can hand off to someone else. Tom Walsh is going to handle it. And for this Thursday, we need to be here at 11:45 rather than at noon. 11:45, and it'll probably last till 2 o'clock. We will have our meeting. We will have devotions. We'll have lunch, not necessarily in that order. And discussion and elections. What type of things? Now, Tom went through the directory and says there's between 80 and 90 people eligible to come to that. Now, you can talk to him about whether you're eligible or not. I saw a lady yesterday's shirt from one of the churches says their senior group is 60 and more. So if you're older than 60, you're welcome to come to that group. Ours, it's just whoever wants to come. But again, there's 60 people available. And he also has invitation cards that if you have an interest in it, he has cards that you can give to people to invite them for this. Ladessa had an announcement as far as the sign language class. See if she can sign it correctly. Everyone involved in the ASL classes will meet on Tuesday night at 6:30 this week. That's both classes together. Also, the American Sign Language class will be canceled for the summer starting in June. And that'll go through August. We'll start back up in September, and exactly when and where we'll... as September nears. So that's there. Also, Laura Griffin, one of the families that used to be part of this church, when their kids were little, said that their daughter, for both Chris and Laura to be graduating, Beth, Chris, and Laura, they're having an open house. And there's information on that. They wanted you to know about that also. You also saw, probably when you came in, the baby bottle sitting out there. That's for the Flint Crisis Pregnancy Services Baby Bottle Drive. And that runs from Mother's Day through Father's Day. So pick up a bottle, fill it up with your loose change. Bills fill it up faster than coins do. But then bring it back by Father's Day, and we'll be sending it to Flint Crisis Pregnancy Center. There is also a Flint Crisis Pregnancy Services, and some people have brought in blankets and things like that, baby blankets, that we will be also sending along with that. As I mentioned, Pastor Josh is off this week. He will be back tomorrow. He is performing a wedding for somebody in his family, and so they are away today. Any other announcements that I was unaware of? The deacons meeting that was regularly scheduled for today has been canceled because Pastor Josh isn't here. Yes, Bill.
What's your name?
My name, Don DeBoer. Okay. Sometimes you have to start with the basics. Let's pray, and then we'll continue with song. Our Father, you are an awesome, wonderful, good God. Father, we need your help. We are frail, weak. We're getting old. We make stupid mistakes, Lord. We're disobedient to you. We ask for your forgiveness as you have promised it to us. Father, we come today. Some of us are hungry for your word. Some of us are hoping that our toes don't get stepped on. And Father, some probably just don't care at all. But as you have provided us in sheep, as sheep in your family, I ask that you will work in each individual. And during the time we are here, our hearts will be softened, opened, and that your word and your spirit can work through them. Thank you for our time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, and thank you to all who came. Thank you to all who participated in the singing, the offering, the orchestra, I guess, the instruments, the choir. By the way, we have more room in the choir. We have more room for more instruments. We have more room for special offertories like Grace played this morning. And there's room for more people. And guess what? There's more room out here, too. I'll begin again at the same point. My name is Don DeBoer. I am associate pastor here, and Pastor Josh is out for the week, so I'm filling in. I've been here 3 years now, and when I came, this is the first place I have been a pastor. My dad was a pastor. I was raised in a parsonage, I guess you'd call it, in the pastor's home, and I thought when I came here, I knew what it meant to be a pastor. Now, some of you have done that type of thing before, not being a pastor, but got yourself into something thinking you knew all of what it was going to be, maybe marriage, maybe who knows what, but you thought you understood what it was going to be, and once you got into it, you found out that you had, is the word preconceived notions, you had ideas, you had expectations, and you really didn't grasp what it meant. Well, I'm not resigning. Don't worry about that, or sorry to get your hopes up if that's what you were thinking. But this is 3 years now, and it has been a learning curve for me. Because each of us comes from a different background, God doesn't put two people together that are identical. He doesn't make two people that are identical. Because he comes from different backgrounds, different experiences, God brings all of us together and puts us in one place because each of us is different. And he gives us differing gifts and different experiences and different talents, different abilities, different interests. Okay? When you go to a restaurant, what is the first thing you pick up there? The menu. Why? Because they don't just serve one thing at the restaurant. They have options available for you because we all have different choices. Now, as a teen, we used to do, drive through McDonald's and ask for a Whopper because McDonald's doesn't have Whoppers. Whoppers are at Burger King. Okay. Things like that were just my sense of humor, the group that I was with at that time. Okay. But you don't go to a Chinese restaurant and ask for spaghetti normally. You have options, but they're within a certain range. When I came here, I thought I understood what I was going to be doing, and I found that I have expectations, but so do you. And because you're different people with different interests and different backgrounds and different histories and, honestly, different traditions, we have a lot of, this is what a pastor should do. And this is what a pastor should do, and this is what a pastor should do, and this is what a pastor should do, and why aren't you? Never mind, I'm not going to go into that part. But I'm not here to complain. I decided I had needed to look back at Scripture and see what God's expectations for a pastor were. And it was interesting because my expectations and God's expectations weren't the same. So I decided to change God's expectations to, no. I decided I needed to change mine to match God's. So I'm going to look at that this morning. I hope you'll look at it with me. But when we go back into the New Testament times, we have a group of people that God designates as the church. Originally, the church started on the day of Pentecost. Now, people can argue about that, but that's usually what we state. That's where the church started at Pentecost. Much like we say a child was born on such and such a day, but that isn't when the child started. Okay? But that's when it was born. Okay? At Pentecost, you had an array of people, different group. You had the 12, actually at that point, 11 and a half, apostles that God had specifically chosen and delegated as his leaders. Okay? And you had about 110 others that had been followers of Christ or disciples that were together. And this 120 people together in a room, you have the 10 or the apostles plus the others are together in a room when the Holy Spirit comes on them. They go to the temple. Peter preaches, and in that day, the church has 3,000 people added to them. Talk about an administrative nightmare, but an exciting one. And within days, weeks, months, years, the church grows. But you started off with apostles and disciples and new converts and more new converts and more new converts. And more new converts. But you don't just keep getting new converts. These ones have to start growing up. And we find that by the sixth chapter of Acts, the church started in the second chapter. By the sixth chapter, there's contention starting between people. Now, it's been pointed out that it started between the ladies, but that's not really the case. Okay? The contention started because the ladies weren't being treated fairly. Okay? So I want to specify that. But the contention starts, and you only had four chapters so far of the church at that point. And God gives a group of people called the deacons who are there to help at that point. At that point, you have only two groups of leaders. You have the apostles. You have several thousand of the new Christians that have been coming along. Oh, we don't know whether this is months or years later or how many years later. And God gives the deacons to help the apostles. But as Paul goes out on his missionary journey, as Peter goes out on his journeys and others, they're establishing more churches in the timeline, if this was a timeline, as they're establishing more and more churches, they have more churches than they have apostles to go around. And some of the apostles have been killed. So who is going to be the leaders in these churches? The New Testament uses three words to describe these people. But he doesn't use nouns to describe them. The New Testament uses verbs to describe them. So they're not known by their title, they're known by what they do. The word pastor only shows up once in the New Testament. But that's the word we, in English, have chosen to use for this position of the leader of a church. The three words are someone who is shepherds the flock, someone who is an elder in the flock, or meaning a mature person, someone who shows maturity in the flock, and the other word they use is someone who is overseeing or managing the flock or the local assembly. I decided to look at the word shepherd first out of the three because those are all three words, the shepherds, those who shepherd, those who oversee, and those who are mature leaders are all three combined in the word pastor. I decided to look at shepherd because shepherd is, well, to me, that's the most closely is what my heart is. I care about the people. About the individuals. If I step aside for a moment, in Hollywood or someplace like that, they have the tradition, the show must go on. This isn't a show, folks. This is an assembly of people that God has called out to be his own. And the people matter more than the I don't want to use the word performance, but that alliterates. The people matter more than what we are doing, than the program. Maybe that's a better word for it. Because it's individuals. So as I looked at the shepherd, and we're going to stop and pray. As I looked at the shepherd, I looked at what does the New Testament say about those who are shepherds or who are shepherding as far as the church. Then I went back and looked at what does Jesus say about those who are shepherds. And then I went back and looked at the Old Testament context when he identifies a shepherd. And I'm going to take you through that today in the time we have left. Let's pray. Father, as we said earlier, you are our shepherd. You are our God. You are good. We need your help. We cannot do it ourselves. Our traditions, our expectations need to be yours. We are pressed to be conformed to the image of your Son. We ask that as we look at your word, we will understand your message and accept it into our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. When we look at shepherds throughout the New Testament, and then when we look at them during what Christ mentions in the Gospels, and then we look at them in the Old Testament even, there are three basic functions of a shepherd. A shepherd, let me get them right here, a shepherd provides, a shepherd protects, and a shepherd provides permanence. That's the only way I could come up with another P that I could come up with it, okay? And I'm going to mention those first, then we're going to go look at Scripture. And you can tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong, okay? I think I'm right, but as we look at it, in provision, the shepherd provides leadership where he takes the flock, and he provides the necessities, water, food, and rest are provided. Those are what the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides also protection. And protection is divided into two parts, internal and external. And there are many times in Scripture where we're warned about watching outside for those who come in. But then many times also we're warned about watching those inside that would harm the flock that are supposed to be part of the flock. Okay? And in that internal protection, we also have the part or the idea of binding up, helping those heal that are sick or wounded or hurt, whether by an outside animal or by an inside animal in the flock. The last is permanence. You think of David in Psalm 23. He says, God's going to take care of me in this life. And when this life is over, he's going to take care of me in the eternal life. And I am his sheep now, and I am his sheep then. Let's go back and look at some of the passages in the New Testament that talk about that. I'm not going to have you turn to all of them, but I will go through them with you. Start in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Paul is coming back from his third missionary journey. He is coming back to Jerusalem. He stops at a place near the city of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. You can look at it as I'm talking here. Acts chapter 20, 17 through 35. And Paul calls for the elders, is the term he uses. He calls for the elders. Elders indicates what? Old folks. No, it doesn't. Okay? Elders is not old folks. In Scripture, elders is the mature ones. Oops. Have you ever met somebody who's old but hasn't grown up yet? Sometimes you see them in the mirror when you're shaving in the morning. Okay? Now, I'm a dad. I have a daughter. Dads are required. It's in our manual that we're supposed to pick on our daughters and tease them. Okay? Okay? Particularly if they have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. No, we won't go there with that, okay? But as a father, it is fun to be childish at times. But I can't be childish all the time. Okay. The term elder refers to someone who is mature. And Paul says, he calls for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come over where he is, because he doesn't want to go where they are, because that'll slow him down on his journey. But he comes there and says, now I've got instructions for you. Elders, my instructions for you, take heed, which are literally the words, hold on. Hold on to yourselves. Hold on to the flock where God has made you, here's the other word, overseers. Hold on to it. You ever seen pictures of someone walking a bunch of dogs and they're all on leashes and they're pulling a bunch of different directions? Okay? Hold on. The sheep want to scatter. Hold on. He says, hold on to them. And he says, because you're shepherds, don't be casual, is his word. Okay? It doesn't come across in English like it. I was trying to figure out how to do the message and also give us PowerPoints. I didn't worry about the PowerPoints. But we looked up the word lackadaisical just to find out what it is. And we found two really good pictures. But the one I really like shows a mountain lion, and he's laying on the big limb of a branch on a tree, and he's just there. All four legs hanging down, tail drooping, and he's just there. He's watching. He's looking at the camera, but he's not interested in it. And God says to the shepherds, to these overseers, to these elders, don't be like that. Be alert. Be attent. Because Jesus purchased this flock with his own blood, how much do you think it is valuable to him? I build model airplanes. Some of them I have because that's a model airplane that I want to build. And unfortunately, some of them I have because it was a bargain that I couldn't pass up. Even though I'm not interested in the airplane, I bought it because it was a good bargain. Now, some of you, that means nothing, okay? But others of them, I could describe the airplanes, and you're going, okay. Some of them I bought merely because it was a good bargain. Do I need it? No. Do I want it? Yes, okay. But God is saying here, he says, my son purchased this at what price? At the price of his own blood. So you watch out for it. We've got all these instruments across the front, and I liked hearing all those this morning. We've got, what, three violins, a viola, a couple flutes and stuff here. What makes those valuable? The person who played them? Or the person who made them? Or what? You've heard the song, The Touch of the Master's Hand, about the old man playing the violin. And beforehand, people are bidding $2, $3, $4. And after they hear the master play it, oh, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. There's the price that is attached to it because of who and what it is. This was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is valuable. Therefore, shepherds, pay attention. Why? He says, for two other reasons. Because externally, there are going to be savage wolves that come in. Internally, there are those drawing people away to themselves rather than to the shepherd. So he has the idea, watch. This is guard duty. Remember the importance of it. He says, this is not just, okay, we need somebody to watch this. You've seen things on the news about these TSA screeners, where someone is able to go through the airport security that shouldn't have gotten through because they weren't paying attention to do their job. Then they put it at a higher alert level. We go from yellow to orange to red or whatever the alert levels are, and they say, it's urgent, something could happen, so be watching. And Paul here says to them, remember the importance of it. The other picture of lackadaisical that we came across is a guy walking his dog. As he's driving his car, he's got his arm out the window with the leash, and the dog's trotting along beside the car. But in this case, Acts chapter 20, Paul instructs them, support the weak. And he reminds them, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The second one I looked up, was 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter, one of the disciples, one of those apostles, in fact, the one that was the leader of the church, the one who preached on Pentecost, the one who denied Jesus three times, the same guy who walked on water, that was the high point, low points, chopping off Malchus's ear, yes. Okay, the same guy says to them, "You shepherds, you elders, I entreat you." And he's writing in the context of suffering for God's glory. He says to them, "Shepherd the flock of God around you." And he tells them, "Serve as an overseer." So in that same passage, he's referred to the three different aspects, the elder, the shepherd, and the overseer. Do it willingly, not because you have to. Do it eagerly, not because you're paid to. And do it as an example, not as, "Oh, I get to be the boss." So in 1 Peter 5, he uses all three aspects again of the shepherd: provision, protection, and permanence, because this lasts. Next passage I looked at was Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. And it's the story of the lost sheep, where the shepherd said, where Jesus is talking. He says, "Which man among you, if he has 100 sheep, and one of them comes up missing," how do you find out that you got a sheep missing if you got 100 of them? "You counted them." Okay, this isn't the, "Oh yeah, that looks like they're all here." They counted them. And he says, "One's missing." And it says he leaves the 99 in the wilderness, not back home, in the wilderness, and he goes out and searches till he finds that sheep, finds it, picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it home. You have all three aspects again of a shepherd. You have the provision, you have the protection, and you have the permanence. I am taking this sheep home with me and celebrating because of it. The next passage in the New Testament time was John chapter 21. And this is Jesus talking to Peter. That same guy we just talked to a moment ago or talked about. Jesus talks to Peter. This is on the seashore of Galilee in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know I like you." And three different times, or I guess sign language is three, right, Ledessa? One, two, three, three. Okay, yeah. Three. He says three different times, he uses three different phrases with Peter. The first phrase he says is, "Feed my lambs." And it's specifically a word for little sheep. Okay, "Feed my lambs." The second time Jesus says, "Shepherd my sheep." By the way, you saw people, they were running a drill for the children downstairs in the nursery on evacuation and protecting them. That seemed appropriate for this morning, so that's what they were doing. That's where you saw the guys get up. It wasn't because I got up to preach, at least not as far as I know, okay? Yeah, the first one he says is, "Feed my lambs." The second one he says is, "Shepherd my sheep." And the third one is, "Feed my sheep." He's got three different things in mind there, and he's telling Peter there's three different aspects of this ministry I'm instructing you to do. But let's go to the section that we most often think of in the New Testament when we talk about a shepherd. That's John chapter 10. Jesus is talking, and he's... the context is important to it, but not at the moment. We'll come to the context in a moment. But Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's been rebuking them. And in the middle of this rebuttal of them, the Pharisees, this other group, he says, "I'm the good shepherd." Not just "I am the shepherd," "I am the good shepherd." First off, he says, "I am the door to the sheepfold." But the things that he identifies in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, Jesus identifies the shepherd does several things. He knows his sheep by name, not just by sight. At least four times this week, I've had people call and say, "Who is such and such?" Or come to my study, "Who is such and such? I remember, you know, I've got the name on my deacon's list, or I've got this. Who is it?" And we're able to go through the directory, and they see the picture and go, "Oh, him or her, I know who that is." Okay, one person wanted to know who the Harmons were. Okay, the Harmons are part of the group here that's playing, and Grace played the piano this morning. Okay, who are the Harmons? And I had to describe them. How did I describe them? Well, where they sit. Okay, or how do you describe people? But where all of a sudden they go, oh, I know who that is. One of the churches was talking recently that, I shouldn't say recently, a few years ago, was talking about how do we keep attendance on Sunday mornings? Well, you can put a little folder here, and everybody on the row signs it and then passes it down. But then you end up with Clark Kent and Lois Lane and all these other, Mickey Mouse and Ronald Reagan and all these other people that show up in attendance. Okay? Go ahead and sign all that out there. Yes, Mickey Mouse. Okay, I caught that one. Okay? When you do that, you end up with problems of people. Okay, let's see. We could have somebody standing back and take track of who's here so that we notice if someone's missing. Because, honestly, we have somebody say, I haven't been there for 3 weeks and nobody called me. Did you let us know you were in the hospital? Well, no, but you should have noticed. I'm sorry, I didn't. Right? So, how do you keep track of it? And some people, you set up a video camera. And then you go through and watch everybody and check everybody off. Okay, these people were here this week. Oh, they came in another door. Well, we don't have a camera on that door. Okay, and it really is a discussion on how do you keep track so you don't let people fall through the cracks. We want to be intentional about this. You can't keep people from falling through the cracks, but you can put bigger boards in so the cracks are smaller. Jesus says, the shepherd knows his sheep by name. He leads his sheep. His sheep know him. That goes both ways. The sheep know him too. And he gives his life for his sheep, and he defends his sheep. Later on in the same passage, in verses 27, 28, and 29, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know my sheep. My sheep follow me. I give my sheep eternal life. My sheep will never perish. No one can grab or confiscate or snatch, the words that are used, the sheep from me or from my Father. Double security. Provision, protection, and permanence. There are at least 10 passages in the Old Testament that talk about this, about the shepherd. But when Jesus talked to the Pharisees there in John chapter 10, did you know he was referring to a passage in the Old Testament? I don't know how many messages I've heard on the Good Shepherd and stuff, but it never came across to me until I checked on it that Jesus is actually pointing back to a prophecy about himself in Ezekiel chapter 34. Would you please turn to Ezekiel chapter 34? That's in the Old Testament. I did not look up what page it's on in the Bibles that are in the pews in front of you. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, all three aspects of a shepherd come into view. Because God is rebuking the leaders of the Jews in Ezekiel 34. And Jesus uses that in the New Testament specifically as his rebuke to the Pharisees. It's part of the rebuke that starts before that in John 9. And then further in John 10, or in John 11, it continues. But he's putting that right there in the middle. Ezekiel chapter 34, God promises to protect. God promises to provide. And God promises permanence for the shepherds, for the sheep. And I'm just going to read Ezekiel 34. As we look at it here, as he says, he's going to provide leadership. He's going to provide the necessities they need. He's going to protect them, both internally and externally. He's going to provide permanence in this life and the next. So you follow along in Ezekiel chapter 34 as I read it. These are the things that God promises. These are the things a shepherd should do, or, as God points out, should not do. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be found, no longer be, excuse me, I just turned the wrong page, no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring that back what was driven away, bind up the broken, strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between the sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with your side and shoulder, and have butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David, obviously referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and will cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their seasons. There shall be showers of blessings. I think there's a song about that. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of the yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. Jump down to verse 30. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my flock, the flock of my pastures. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. When Jesus told the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd, he's referring back to this, and he's telling them, you haven't done your job. You are out of a job now. I am taking the job. Now, we call that an ultimatum, in a sense, where he says, you do it or else. Well, God gave them the ultimatum in Ezekiel. They didn't. Jesus Christ is the or else. He is the shepherd. Now, he is appointed among the flock leaders. He calls them elders. He calls them overseers or managers. And he calls them shepherds. Expectations of a shepherd. What are God's expectations of a shepherd? Provision. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. Provide for them rest, provide for them the necessities, provide for them healing for the sick, bandages for those who've been wounded, whether by other sheep, provide equity or fairness among the sheep, provide, I had another one there, food, water, rest, healing, maintenance, binding up, etc., and I had another one, but I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. He says he's going to provide, he's going to protection internally and externally. And he's going to provide permanence for this life. You will know forever that I am your God. In Psalm 23, David again says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the idea is, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Permanence. Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's almost, you get the feeling that God says, those sheep are important to me. He doesn't say, your programs are important to me. He doesn't say, your plans are important to me. He doesn't even say, your goals are important to me. He says, my sheep are important to me. Feed them. Protect them. Provide for them. As a shepherd, that's been a rebuke to me. So often, I'm looking at, okay, how do we make this go more smoothly? How do we make the transition from this to that? This morning, as we had the, my time's gone, so I'll be done quickly. This morning, as we had this group here, and we had the choir here, and we had Ledessa up here, and Krista was playing there, and Grace was, and everybody was shifting around, and we're trying to figure out, how can we do that with without people running into each other? Okay, that's all part of a Sunday morning. But have I taken time to talk to worry about, to feed, to protect the sheep? Or have I been so busy trying to, I don't want to use choreograph, but that's the only word that comes up, orchestrate. Okay, my wife got the right word for me. Thank you, Carrie. Okay, have I been so busy trying to get everything moving smoothly that the people that are hurting aren't being taken care of? The people that are hungry aren't being taken care of. The people that are thirsty aren't being taken care of. The people that are wounded or sick aren't being taken care of. Because that is the priority for a shepherd. Now, I realize there's the other aspects of a pastor as far as the manager, the overseer, and the elder, mature. Okay. But as a shepherd, that's where my heart is. And I am embarrassed to see how much I have gotten busy doing other things and ignored the sheep. Our Father, you are good. You have given us the good shepherd who shed his own blood for our souls. Father, as we're conformed to the image of him who is our shepherd, as we grow, as we mature, as we lead our next generation, Father, help us to be focused on your sheep. We thank you for making us part of your flock, some of your sheep. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. And thank you that nobody can take us out of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't really had an offer. I have an invitation today. I just told you what Scripture says. But I look forward to you being back here tonight. Tonight I'm going to have a little more fun, if I can put it that way, because we're going to be looking at five turning points in church history, or five key points in church history that put us where we are today. So I hope to see you here tonight. Thank you.